Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
I'm Nikola. Hi, guys.
And we have a lot of news for you today.
Let's go right into it. Best thing this week that happened was the anniversary update got updated to the Creators Update.
Yay! Right.
So Windows 10 got updated to the Creators Update, the latest update of Windows 10. And it comes with all kinds of cool stuff in there. I mean, this, you know, Paint 3D is one of the coolest, you know, consumer apps, facing apps, but there's also a lot of developer updates in there as well. So if you're a developer, you can get the SDK and start developing for some of the latest features there. And there's a great blog post on Blogs that talks about what's new in Windows 10 Creators Update. You can also find the video of the This Week on Windows, our cousins over there that are talking about, they talk about what's new in the consumer features for Windows 10. So it's a great, great blog post. And I mean, I'm sure most of you are already using the insider bits already and moved on past this. But, you know, it's official now and everybody can start downloading it. So
it's
family members or grandmothers who don't have the update yet, I mean, you can wait to get it or you can just do it for them.
Yes. And talking about family members, if you have kids, we actually are going to have an event May 2nd. This event is not for kids, but obviously it's going to, I would say, it's going to be important for your kids because we're going to talk what we prepared, what we made for the education, basically, for the education industry, for teachers, for creators in schools. And that's going to be a really cool event right before Build, right?
Yeah, this is happening on May 2nd. There's going to be it's an online event, so everyone can be able to watch it as well and tune in at, I think it's in the morning on the Pacific time. Oh, actually, in the morning here everywhere.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're going to talk about. I'm completely lost. Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to this. Do you know what they're going to talk about?
Yes.
You're going to tell me?
I'll tell you.
But not on camera?
Later. Yes.
You know what? I think you don't know. I think you're just pretending.
Of course.
Of course.
I always pretend that I know.
Anyway, speaking of developer news, actually, let's go with developer news. And Miguel has a great blog post where he talks about some of the latest updates to Visual Studio for Mac and all the stuff they've added there for, if you're a web developer, if you're a back-end developer, if you're a Mac developer, et cetera. So it's actually a lot of updates there and talks about how straightforward was, it's never easy, but how they were able to take over some of the features there in Visual Studio for PC and move them over to the Visual Studio for Mac and how they were able to do that.
Yeah, from the web editing perspective, they have like IntelliSense, the same way like we have it on the PC. They added new features for .NET Core. They have C# 7 support now.
Yes, I love C# 7. I just recently started using some of the features there. My favorite one is the inline functions. I don't know if you started using that. That's a great time saver.
Yeah, and you can also publish your code directly to Azure. Now they have this publishing
wizard, right.
From Visual Studio for Mac.
So it's a great update for anybody that is running Visual Studio on the Mac and doing all the development, which is great.
Yeah, and if you're running Visual Studio on the PC, then we have something new for you. And it's really not us, it's Michael.
Yeah, Michael Sorens has a great blog post which talks about some of the unsung, I guess, features that haven't been really talked about. Some extensions, some packages you can get for Visual Studio that will make your life so much easier if you just give it a shot.
It's basically about the features that are in add-ins for Visual Studio, and if you install them, your life is going to be a lot easier.
That's right. Now, and speaking of features for Visual Studio, Ryan has a great blog post on features that are built in into Visual Studio but are disabled by default. And if you enable these features, you can actually start using them. It actually save quite a lot of time in doing a bunch of things. Like one of my favorite is suggestions for unrecognized types. So if you're trying to use something that's in a NuGet package, Visual Studio can actually realize, wait, that's this NuGet package. Let me go ahead. Do you want me to get it for you? You don't have to actually know where this NuGet package is. It's really cool.
It's like artificial intelligence in Visual Studio, just hidden.
Yeah, so it's some great features. Visual Studio has a lot of stuff in there. Sometimes you have to know where to find it. So these blog posts are great.
Next, this is about IoT on Azure. I believe Giris is his name, published a blog post. And it's not actually just a blog post, but it's a series of posts for Happy Path to learn IoT on IoT development on Azure. And the reason his team started publishing it is because there are different groups of people learning IoT, and especially IoT with the cloud. Like, you may be like a hardcore developer
down to the metal,
but you have no idea about Azure. Or you may be like a high-level application developer, may have experience with the cloud, but you have no experience with the IoT stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to fill this gap. They're basically trying to publish a series that goes after like certain tasks you will likely do with your IoT development. And they're trying to give you this kind of getting started guidance for this path.
Which is great. And I looked through the blog post, and they have different types of devices and different languages you can do. So you can select, I want to do Raspberry Pi, and I can want to use this language, and it takes you to some tutorials, which gets you started from, you know, provisioning your device to actually getting started coding with some devices, accessing the cloud, et cetera. So it's a great way to actually, you know, if you don't know anything about mm-hmm. this, to get started and get that hello world euphoria when you get, oh my God, I did this. So it's really great to do that.
Yeah. Talking about devices and different platforms, Skype team actually recently open sourced React XP. And what React XP is a multi-platform framework, and it's multi-platform that way that it actually works on the web and on native devices. So there is a React.js framework, which is a React framework for the web, for the browser. Mm-hmm. And it's a React Native framework, which is also JavaScript-based framework for native platforms. So it basically generates native apps. And you, like, for both, you use JavaScript, and now we have another JavaScript framework.
Do we really need another JavaScript
yeah,
framework?
Yeah, that obviously solves all the problems in the JavaScript world once again.
Which is great. I mean, this is truly cross-platform development on JavaScript, mm-hmm. because it's not just cross-platform in terms of devices, it's cross-platform in terms of devices and the web, so it works across everywhere, which is really cool, and it's something that's needed.
I'd say it's cross-paradigm.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Let me use this word.
Yes, not to be confused with Windows XP.
Yes. Yeah, and going from, I don't know, Windows browsers, JavaScript, going down to
Linux,
low level and actually Linux stuff running on Windows.
Yeah, so with the update to the creators update on Windows 10, we also updated the Windows subsystem for Linux. And for those that don't know, it's a way for you to run Linux Linux things on Windows. And instead of having to run an actual virtual machine to be able to do Linux development or to do some development for web development or use some of the tools that are only available in Linux, you can do that directly on Windows now. And the Windows subsystem for Linux team has been updating this subsystem mm-hmm. since the anniversary update to the creators update. And they have a whole blog post on what's in there. But this blog post actually talks about how that team has been testing the subsystem to make sure that a lot of the tools out there, they use Linux or depend on Linux, actually work great on the subsystem as well. So they talk about how they use the Linux Text Project to run the tests, and they show how they've how many tests they've passed in the anniversary update, how many tests they've passed in the creators update. But they also talk about how this test project is not actually enough. They also go and grab a bunch of different open source projects out there and then run their tests to make sure everything's working. And they all do kind of fuzzy testing and all kinds of any kind of testing to make sure that everything's working.
So much testing.
Which is great. If you're, if you into the project lifecycle of writing any product, mm-hmm. You always have to do testing. So it's a great way to see how other teams are actually doing their testing and what they're using and how creative they're getting and to making sure that, everything is working right.
Yeah, there's actually a video with an interview that Seth took with one of the Windows subsystem for Linux team members. And they actually explain how complex it is, and that it's not actually virtualization. It's really running Linux kernel code in the isolated sort of container and on top of Windows kernel. Yeah. So that's a really crazy thing. Love it.
It's great, and it has gotten a really great response in the community as well, which is good, which is giving more fuel to the people building this, and they're more excited to actually continue developing it.
Exactly.
Now, moving over to our picks of the week. My picks of the week is a bit something that's really close to my heart, and it's Git. Now, I work with a lot of developers who are using Git, and there's a lot of stages between people using Git. And no matter if you are a novice developer using Git or if you're a expert in Git, you always find yourself, oh, no, I messed up. Oh, how the hell do I got to go back and go search something online, and how do I revert back to the commit? So there's a great, I guess you call this... flow mm-hmm. that Justin has written that basically goes like, so you have a problem with Git. What is that problem? And it's a flow chart. Okay, I did this, I did this. Okay, here's the command how to do this. And it has a great, very, very extensive flow that actually helps out a lot. So I really recommend you print this out and put it somewhere close to your monitor, because I'm sure you're going to need to use this eventually.
I would say put it close to your fire evacuation, you know, thing, because it's basically the same.
What do I do when this happens? Oh, no.
Yes.
Anyway,
so my peak of the week. Last week, we actually talked about CNTK. I believe it was last week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, when they had the latest update.
Yeah, the new update of CNTK. And just a week later, less than a week later, there is another great blog post and actually piece of software that we collaborated with InSounds. This is the company, InSounds. And based on CNTK and the source code they provided for faster CNN algorithm for actually doing object detection, they created another repo with an actual kind of app that you can use and you can run for doing object detection. Mm-hmm. And they also explain how you train the network, how you use this train network for detecting object. That's quite cool, and you can obviously use it and modify and go ahead with your own stuff and make it even better.
It's crazy. Back, you know, a few years ago even, it was almost impossible to find a way to do object detection mm-hmm. on anything. And now you have so many options to do object detection that you don't even you have a problem
exactly.
with ops problem of which one do I choose kind of thing. So, which is great to actually see this and see these platforms and see these toolkits actually evolving in such a way.
Yeah, and I love that people started recognizing CNTK and mm-hmm. its capabilities, and it's kind of getting traction. It's not like it's the best for all possible ways, no, but it's good that having this unique capabilities like distributed, like working in distributed systems in the cloud is getting recognized and it's getting traction.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. I think that's all the stories we have, unless you have something hidden. No?
No.
We're good. Okay. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, and have fun.